Amen. I'm going to open up out of the Passion Translation this morning, 1 John 2, 3 through 6. It says, here's how we can be sure that we've truly come to know God, if we keep his commandments. If someone claims, I have come to know God by experience, yet does not keep God's commandments, he is a phony. And the truth finds no place in him. But the love of God will be perfected within the one who obeys God's word. We can be sure that we've truly come to live in intimacy with God, not just by saying, I am intimate with God, but by walking in the footsteps of Jesus. There's a song, and I don't know how old this song is, and I did not look it up. Oh, no. I'll give you the words. I don't even know the tune to the song. You might know it. It's Just a Closer Walk with Thee. Just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Nearer, my God, to Thee, nearer, my God, to Thee. Draw me close to You, never let me go. I lay it down, lay it all down again to hear You say that I am Your friend. Help me find a way, bring me back to You. You are all I want, You're all I live. You're all I live for and ever need. Some of you will know that song, but some of you will have sung that song and said, God, I want You to walk with You in a closer way. And today's message is intimacy through Jesus. It's kind of part two, but it's intimacy through Jesus. And we need this intimate relationship with Him. How many have drawn in closer to God since last week? Have you drawn into a place of intimacy with Him in a deeper way? And that's what it was all about. The anointing of God in this house last week was because here's why. He's saying the time is getting short in the world. Time is getting short, and there are things happening all over the earth. But He's drawing people unto Himself because He's drawing that remnant. Only the remnant is going to grab a hold of Him. It's going to be the people that grab a hold of Him and get intimate with Him that's the ones that's going to be raptured up. Not just because you say that I believe in God and your life does not reflect it, see? There's a lot of people that say I believe in God and they're not going to escape hell. And so what God is saying is I want to have an intimate relationship with You that I may know You and You may know me. See, through intimacy, there is authority we talked about last week. There is an authority through intimacy with Jesus. You cannot use Jesus' name. Jesus' name is powerful and mighty and strong, and it's above every other name, right? It's what the Bible says. It's above every other name. But you cannot use Jesus' name and have authority if you don't know who Jesus is. We've seen that in scriptures. They were using the name of Jesus, and the demonics come back on them because they did not know who they were. See, they knew the disciples because they had an intimate relationship with Jesus. If you want to be intimate with God, you have to be intimate with Jesus because He is the only way through and to God. We also talked about you can only have so much capacity. Right? In a day, there's like 6,000 thoughts to go through your mind, and you only have so much capacity throughout the day to obtain and grab a hold of and fill your jar or fill the capacity that God has given you. And if you fill that with all kinds of stuff, your Facebook, your schoolwork, and life and whatever else, and you do not give any room to God, basically, when you at the end of the day and you try to meet with God, it's like there's nothing going in. It just like it goes and it just pours out the top. So you want to give God first, right? It always talks about giving God first, the first fruits, the first things of your life. You give God first, and then all the other things will be filtered. See, you know, when you put something in the bottom of a glass. Say you put sugar or something in the bottom of a glass and you begin to pour water over top of it, what happens to the sugar? It begins to flow and move through the whole glass. It blends all together. And so what most people do, some people want to get up early in the morning and put God first and put Him in the midst of everything that they do. And everything in their life, because they get up early and they spend time with Jesus, that everything in their life is filtered and mixed through Jesus. But then when you wait to the end of the day and maybe just want to spend a little time with Jesus as you open up your Bible, and then all of a sudden you try to put that in on the very top of all the capacity and all the thoughts and all the things that you've done throughout the day, it doesn't only break the top surface of the glass. It never moves down through the whole place of the whole day of your life. We need to put God first and have intimacy with Him beyond measure. Not only just reading the Word. We talked about reading the Word. We talked about the book of Tabitha. Some of you weren't here and we talked about the book of Tabitha. Some of you might know Tabitha, and if she wrote a book, you would know about her and you would know her life. You would know maybe some things that she went through and some difficulties she endured and all that, but would you really know Tabitha? The only way to know Tabitha is to get intimate with Tabitha. So I would know Tabitha more than all of you because I've been intimate with her. Even her best friends don't know her as well as I know her. See, we read the book and we read about Jesus and we read all the things in the book about who He is and His character. But do you really know Jesus? See, you can read about Him and have all the character and knowledge of who Jesus is and all the promises of who He is. And if you never get intimate with Him, do you really know Him? And so we really need to get to know Jesus in a different way than just reading through the Bible. We need to have the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit was going to come and give us understanding and wisdom, right? He was going to teach us in all truths and all paths. He was going to give us understanding about Jesus and the kingdom. Any question you have, you use the Holy Spirit, and He will give you the understanding of those things. For the Christian, spiritual maturity and growing in intimacy with God is never an option. It is a necessity. We talked about this last week. It is a necessity to have an intimate relationship with Jesus. It's not an option. It's not an option because there are so many people in the world that have read this book and have went to hell. I'm just going to tell you, they're in a place of holding. There are so many people that have read this book today and are going to die tomorrow, and they're still going to be in a place of holding because they never got intimate with the Father. They only read it at face value. See, you got to be able to confess Jesus is Lord of your life. You have to be able to confess He is Lord. Right? And you need to know Him. You need to know Him. We need intimacy with God in our life, and we gain intimacy with God through Jesus. So we didn't talk a lot about Jesus last week, did we? We only talked about intimacy and reading the Word and having intimacy with God. But how is the path? What is the path to intimacy with God? And it's Jesus is always the answer, right? Jesus is the only way, the truth, the life, and no one can come to the Father except through Him. And Jesus is our intimate source that we can come to God through Jesus. We have to have an understanding of who Jesus is. We have to have a relationship with Jesus. It says in 1 Timothy 2:5 and 6, it says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." That's the only way. That's the only truth. John 10:9 says, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." I like that it says that will go in and out. Not only come in, but he can go out and come back in. He will find pasture. And then in John 17:3, where Jesus is praying, he says, "And this is eternal life." He says, Jesus saying, "This is eternal life. That they may know you." Who's Jesus saying? That they may know God, right? The only true God. And then he says, "And Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." This is Jesus' prayer. The only way to know God is through Jesus. Right? This is eternal life. Do you have eternal life? That you may know God, the only true God, and Jesus, his Son. See, intimacy is a two-way street. We can only move into intimacy as the other person will allow. You can only go so far into intimacy as the other person will allow. Right? So, if me and my wife were wanting to have intimacy, I can only go as far as she will allow me to go, right? So if we were dating, and this is before Jesus, okay? This is before Jesus, and we were dating, and I won't go into all the stuff, but if I was looking to be intimate with her before we were married, I could only go as far as the other person will allow me to go, right? Jesus can only go as far as you allow him to go. He will only come into as far as what you allow into your life. He will not force himself. That is rape. Right? We know what rape is. Jesus, Holy Spirit, will only come in so far as much as you will allow him to come in. You want all the intimacy in the world, but only allow him to have a part of your life, a little section of your life. He can only come into that amount of intimacy with you. See, he wants to have your whole life, and you have to open up your whole heart, and you have to be able to be humble before him and allow him to take all of your life. If you want true intimacy with God, you have to go through Jesus, and you have to give him full access to your heart. That's just a plain, simple fact. To have intimacy with my wife or have intimacy with anyone else, I have to give them full access to me. See, there's places that I will not allow people to have access to that a certain type of intimacy with me. There's, you know, you have the Holy of Holies, you have the outer court, the inner court, and Holy of Holies. You can have those people that stay on the outer court of your life, right? They only get so much intimacy from you. When I talk to John, it's an intimate moment, but I've only given him so much intimacy. I haven't given him the intimacy that I would give to my wife. See, there's places and people in our realm that we give intimacy to. There's an amount of intimacy we can give to them. And the outer court is just a surface intimacy. As you move into the inner court of the place of sacrifices and the place that the work was being done, there's a different level of intimacy in that place. And then as you move into the Holy of Holies, it's a whole different level of intimacy because God is standing in the presence right there. And then you are undone, and some people will say they tied a rope to the priest and they would pull them out if they were in sin or whatever. I don't know if that's to be factual or not. But what I know is the priest would go in once a year before the Lord. And it's so neat to now today that Jesus came into the earth, and when he was resurrected, it said the veil was rent from top to bottom. The veil to the temple that only the priest could go into for that intimate moment. No one else could have intimacy because why? Because at Mount Sinai, God, the people chose, Moses, you go and have intimate relationship with God, and we will do what you tell us to do, right? God wanted intimacy with everyone. He wanted to talk to everyone of the Israelites, but they chose. They were afraid and scared, and they chose that Moses, you go and be intimate with God, and then we will hear and listen and do what God commands. Well, God said now, since he sent Jesus into the earth, that now in his resurrection, he rips the veil, and he gives everyone full access to the intimacy of the Holy of Holies. Everyone has the access to the Holy of Holy place. There is no one that has neglected the place of the Holy of Holies unless you only allow so much of your part, so much of you, for him to have access to, for intimacy. Does that make sense? 1 John 1, 1 through 4 says, this is the King James Version, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. Your joy may be full. We're going to go to that in a little bit and talk about that a little bit later. But listen to that. From the beginning, which you have heard, the disciples were saying, or John was saying, hey, listen to this. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to believers that were accepting Jesus. Jesus has already died. He's already resurrected. John's pinning this after the fact of the resurrection. And this is what he's saying. He's saying, this is what I've been teaching you. These people are Christians. They're believing in Christ. And he's saying, from the very beginning, what you have heard, what you have seen with your eyes, they have demonstrated the gospel. They have demonstrated the intimacy with God and the authority that they had. And he said, we have looked upon and our hands have handled. They have handled Jesus. They have been around him. They've looked upon him concerning the word of life. And he said, life was manifested. He's saying this was a real thing. And so these are people like you and me, like new believers that are coming in. We need to make sure we tell them the truth of who Jesus is. See, there's different levels of intimacy, right? Is there different levels of intimacy in your marriages or in your relationships, in your girlfriends? Is there different levels of intimacy with your friends? Do you believe there is? So there's an intimacy in like just meeting. I meet somebody new and I converse with them and I don't allow them to have so much of me, right? Then there's an intimacy when you meet a girl or a guy and you go out on your first date, right? There's only a level of intimacy that you allow to happen, right? How many remember their first date with the first one they ever went out with in their car or whatever? And you are you still with that person today? Think about how much intimacy you allowed that person to have. Think about that, those things that you opened up and gave away. Intimacy in dating. There's intimacy in the kitchen. Now if you're married or you're family members or whatever, there's an intimacy level in the kitchen where there's a communion and you're talking, you're cooking together or whatever that is. There's an intimacy level when you go into a family room and you sit down to watch a movie. There's an intimate place of intimacy. Some might sit on the other seat, some might get on a love seat, sit together, or whatever it is. I remember when Tabitha and I were young, we would lay on the couch together. Now, we weren't doing anything, but we were laying on the couch watching a movie. That didn't happen until after everybody went to bed. It was only a level of intimacy that Tabitha let me have. That was before Jesus. Too much information. But there's intimacy. There's intimacy in the bedroom, right? There's intimacy in the bedroom where only you allow that other person to be. See, Jesus wants to be in that place of intimacy in the bedroom where you allow and you're open and you're vulnerable to him. See, when you hide things and you cover up things from him, he cannot gain full access of intimacy with you because you're saying, hey, I don't want you to have this part of me. I have a blemish in my life. I have a blemish on my skin. I don't want you to look at me. I don't want you to see me for who I am. And so Jesus can only come in to that level of intimacy that you allow him to have. You know, what really gets intimate, and some of you young kids will not, it'll be like, this is when you really get intimate, is when you can go to the bathroom while the other person's using the bathroom, right? And you talk to them. That's the level of intimacy that is in depth, right? Are you guys there yet? Huh? I remember when we were kids and I would see mom go in there, you know, and when you see them go in there and they're doing their business and the intimacy, because it doesn't matter, right? The level of intimacy, it does not matter what's going on because you're fully open, right? That is a deep level of intimacy when you can allow that to happen and have communication with them. You do that, right? I thought it was the other way around. It's the only time you can come and talk to us, right? We're too busy. See, there's levels of intimacy that only you allow to come into your life. Or, see, Jesus has given you full access to him. It's only the availability of access that you give him that he can come into you. Right? John 4, 23 says, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home in him. This is what Jesus is saying. He said, hey, we're going to make our home with you. We're going to make an abode in you. We're going to live in you if you give us full access to your life. See, when you say, and you can confess Jesus as Lord of your life, and you can say he is my King, my Lord, and my Savior, he's came into your heart. And then we repent of our sins. We cast our sins upon him. We get rid of those things that tie us up, and we open up to him, and he can have full access to us. That's why we want to continually be in a repentive state. We want to continually be in that repentive mindset that if we are doing something wrong that keeps us away from God, that keeps our relationship away from him, then we need to do something to get that fixed. Our prayer on Wednesday night and our prayer on Friday night is the same. Lord, we want to see your face. I want to see his face. Face to face, I want to have an interaction with him. Lord, I want to see your glory. What does that look like? What does this glory look like? I want to see his glory manifested in Travis, and I want to see other people with their glasses off. I want to see the glory of God coming in, like we seen Sunday last week, where we've seen God moving in a way that only the glory of God can do that. No one else can do that in this room except the glory of God, his glory. And so I pray, I want to see your glory in this house. I want to see your glory in my life. I want to see your glory in the things that we walk out each and every day. And then the third thing is God, is there anything within me? Is there anything that is tying me up that keeps me away from you? Holy Spirit, reveal it to me. Each and every day I got to pray this, God. What have I missed? What am I doing that keeps me not being intimate with you, not allowing you full access to my life? See, the love for Christ is proven and demonstrated through our obedience of what he says. Now, we can say we love God. We can say that we are obedient to him, but are we really truly obedient to him? Last week's demonstration of being obedient was what you've seen after the fact of being obedient, of God's power coming in and doing a miraculous work. Jesus is saying, I'm willing to allow you to get close as you want. See, John's telling the church at that time, he's saying, intimacy is all about doing life and fellowship. If you would look at 1 John 1 through 4, it talks about life, 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 and it talks about fellowship, fellowship. He's basically saying you need to have, there's only life in him, and you need to have fellowship with him. You need to have fellowship in the church. We need to have fellowship. You know where there's life's at? Where there's fellowship's at. If we're not in fellowship, we're not in communion, we're not in fellowship with each other, there is no life in here. We can have fellowship with God, but not have fellowship with each other, and there'll be no life. We have to continually be in that place of fellowship with each other, loving on each other. When we're going through hurts and trials and pains, we need to have that place where we can come together and just love on each other. Just like you and your family, we need to love on you because there's a tough time that they're going through. And they're in a place, I don't know if they know Jesus or not, but they need that community around them to support them, to give them love and give them life. Because when you lose a son, and I don't know because I've never lost one, but when you lose one or lose someone that you love, it's got to hurt, right? Our life has to be in fellowship with Jesus. True life. To live in true intimacy with God is only the art of living in fellowship with Jesus. John is emphasizing here that when you follow Jesus, that we do not just follow a set of rules and regulations, but that through the person of the Holy Spirit, he desires to give us life upon life, fellowship upon fellowship, and joy through Jesus. See, the whole purpose of the gospel is to bring us into fellowship with God, right? That was the whole purpose. To have fellowship with God, to bring that closeness and intimacy, face-to-face interaction with him. When you go to the Garden of Eden, and we talked last week where God comes into the garden and he's saying, hey, Adam, where's Adam? Adam would always respond immediately. But this time Adam didn't respond like he usually did, and he, God knew there was something wrong. He already knew there was something wrong, and sin brought them in a place of distance from God. Sin brought them into a place of distance from God. John 17:3, it says, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." This is what it's all about, a fellowship with him. Basically, he says, if you're going to have fellowship with him, we must talk, walk in the light. And there's three things to do that. Number one is we must pursue obedience. Number two, we must grow in love. And number three is we must hold on to the truth. Number one, obedience is in 1 John 2:3-6. This is the King James Version. It's the scripture we opened up with this morning. Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Do you keep God's commandments? He who says, "I know him," and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. See, he's in us, but do we know that we are in him? Because if we do not keep his commandments, we are not in him. It makes us a liar. He goes on to say, he who says he abides in him ought to himself also walk just as he walked. Are you walking as Jesus walked in the earth? We can say that we have grace. There's grace, 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 right? There is grace. There is grace. But when you know the truth and you do not walk in the truth, then you're in the wrong. When you know that you're not supposed to do certain things and you do them anyway, you're in the wrong. Do you have fellowship with God? If you really want true intimacy, you got to stop and be obedient to the word of God. You got to stop and be obedient to the commandments of God. You got to stop living your life in the world and start living your life in Christ. It has to change somewhere. Something has to change. You have to have obedience to pursue an intimate relationship with Jesus. There's so many people in the church, so many people in the world that are missing the mark because they have no obedience in their life. Even the deliverance team knows that they pray and go and work with people constantly, and then all of a sudden, in a week's time, they have gotten out, they've gotten back into bondage in their life because they did not stay in obedience. You can blame it on spirituality, you can blame it on the demons all you want to, but it all boils down to is a mindset of, I'm going to be obedient to Christ. I'm going to walk out this true nature of him. You can't say that, oh, the devil made me do it. No, he just enticed you and you chose to do it. That's all there is to it. You know, you have to be obedient to God. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. Do you do that today? Is he the first thing that you do every day? Is he the first thing that you think about every day? Since we've been talking about intimacy and since we've been doing this stuff and over the course of the last 8 weeks, that's the first thing on my mind when I wake up in the middle of the night. It's Jesus on my mind. It's what is the Holy Spirit wanting to do? It's a constant thing that as I'm thinking about him, he's constantly in my thoughts. All throughout the day, I'm thinking about what God wants to do. How am I missing the mark? Am I walking the correct path that you have asked me to walk in? Am I being obedient to his commandments in my life? Do I love the Lord God with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength? Am I putting him first? Then he says, love your neighbor as yourself. And are you loving your neighbor as yourself? Because you would not put harm on yourself. Need to have obedience to pursue an intimate relationship with God. The second thing was love. 1 John 2:9-11. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. It's put a veil over his eyes. You can say that you love people and you can say that I just love the world. I love everyone. I love people. And when you hate someone, you have an ought against someone and you hate them in your spirit, you're not walking in the light. There's a darkness and a veil over your eyes. See, and we might get this misconception because we talk about forgiveness, right? Can you love the people that have done you wrong? Absolutely. Absolutely. The Bible says we're supposed to forgive, right? And we're supposed to love. You have to be able to love your enemies. Plain and simple. If you cannot, 1 John 2, 9-11 says, he who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. What's he mean until now? That I'm telling you that you have to love your brothers. You need to love your brothers. He who loves his brother abides in the light. He says if you love your brothers, even though they've wronged you, you still love them. Now you don't have to allow them to come back into that place and allow you to abuse you again, but you still have to love them. You can still love them from a different place, right? You don't have to allow it to come back into your life. If someone abused Tabitha or I would not like it very well. If they abused her, hurt her, or whatever it was, I would be very, very angry, and I would want to take it out in a different way. But I would have to love them anyway. You know, I was talking at work one day, and we were just talking about there was a guy, and I can't remember what it was. A guy took a young girl, 5-6 years old, and it's in the area, and took her south somewhere, and I believe that he murdered her. And the question was, if he repents, will he be in heaven? And I said, if he repents fully and truthfully and loves the Lord God and he changes his life, he's forgiven. And he will be with God in paradise. And the guy said, I cannot love a God that can do that. Because there's no way that this man can be forgiven. I can't forgive him. It's not for him to forgive. It was for God to forgive him. He was supposed to love him. Would I allow that man to come into, if say he was out of jail, would I allow that man to come into my house and be around my young children? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I still love him. He made a mistake. He's a believer in God, right? We're supposed to trust that. But would I allow him to go back to our children? Absolutely not. I would not allow him to go back to our children and hurt them or have a chance to take them and carry them out of this building. I would not allow that. And so we can forgive and we can love. We don't have to establish that relationship again. Truth, the third thing. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God abides in him and he in God. 1 John 4:15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God abides in him and he in God. They have to be able to confess Jesus is God. There is a group of people that cannot confess that Jesus is God. They don't show up at my house anymore. They might show up at yours still. I don't know. They still show up different places. Also in 1 John 5:1-5, it says, whoever believes that Jesus Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him, who begot, also love him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the thing. Even that man that took that little 5-year-old girl, if he is truly born of God and he keeps God's commandments, he's forgiven. It's awful hard, isn't it? It's awful hard to see this in the world. And the movie Sound of Freedom, and we see those children all across the world are being taken and abused. And we want to see them pay for their punishment, and we want to see them. But God still loves them. There's going to be a judgment day for each and every one. and everyone will stand before God. But it says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is love. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. How many believe the commandments of God are burdensome? Is it hard to walk out the commandments of God? Is it hard? Is it hard to walk out my life with Tabitha? Some might say yes, some might say no, but it's actually between me and her. Is it burdensome for me to walk my life out with her? Before I had an intimate relationship with her, it might have been. It might have been hard. But when we become intimate in a relationship, it became easy. See, because we love them, because I love them and I don't want to hurt them, that my relationship, it's not hard no more. You see, get me? It's not hard to keep the commandments of a marriage if you love that person. It's not hard to keep the love of God in you if you love him that much. So you can say you love God but do not keep his commandments. Is God really in you? Is he really in you? You can confess God as Jesus is Lord, but if you don't keep his commandments, is God really in you? Is the love of God really in you? If you hate your brother, is the love of God really in you? If you have an ought against your brother, is the God's love really in you? See, in relationship, it's easy. It's easy not to find fault. It's easy to love. It's easy to obey those things that you have set yourself in commitment to. Right? In marriage, it says you're supposed to love her until she dies, right? You're supposed, in sickness and in health, till death do you part, right? In good times and bad times, for richer or poorer, it doesn't matter if she spends all the money, right? I just keep it away from her, right? Yeah, there would be some conflict there. But would I divorce her because of it? No. We would have to, if she spent all the money, that means there is something intimate wrong with us, right? Because she doesn't know my heart. She doesn't know that I care about that we got to have some supply of money to live on, right? If she did that, she did it out of not being intimate with me. She hurt me. Would you want to hurt someone that you're intimate with? And that's why keeping God's commandments are easy. It's simple. Because you love them enough that you don't want to hurt them. Right? Does that make sense? He goes on and says, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. See, the world doesn't matter because you overcome it. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Intimacy is a very vital part of your relationship with God. Reading the Word is a very vital part of your relationship with God because you get to understand and you get to ask the questions to God. You get to ask the questions to the Holy Spirit. What did you mean by this scripture? What did you mean by your character? I don't understand this, but what did you mean by this is who you are? Now I can say, God, I don't understand the scripture, but here is your Word and it testifies of you. What does it mean to me? How does it work in my relationship to you? And now that conversation in the Rhema Word of God that comes to your heart transforms you into an intimate relationship with him. See, that's how it works. That's how the Word of God works, is to establish the foundation of what you know about God and Jesus and all the things that he did to bring into an intimate relationship about, hey, God, what is the behind the scenes of this story. That's where we grow. That's where we understand. And that's where we love God even more. It's because in that intimate relationship, see, we're all looking for an encounter with God. We're all looking for that supernatural encounter with God. And here's the thing. Intimacy in the bedroom just doesn't happen one time. See, intimacy happens over and over. I cannot let the one time of intimacy or the one time experience with God carry me through for years. I have to go back into the bedroom. I have to go back into that place of intimacy because it's a continual thing. Intimacy is a continual conversation. Just because I had the encounter one time a year ago doesn't mean that's enough for me. I'm hungry for more, and I want to establish that relationship where I can come into intimacy, into the bedroom experience with God again, over and over and over again. But see, the problem is we get so out of place in our obedience that we mess up so much, and we don't want God to see our wrongs. We don't want God to see our imperfections in ourselves. And so then we say, oh, well, I don't want to really get too close today. But you know what? God already knows. He already knows your faults and failures. He already knows your misconceptions. He already knows those things that are going on. He just wants to draw you into Him. And all you have to do is say, man, I missed it, God. Man, I'm so sorry, Lord. I messed up again today, God. You already know, but I'm going to confess it to you. It says if you confess your sins one to another, also if you confess your sins to God, you shall be freedom comes from those places. Vulnerability comes from those places of when we mess up. Vulnerability comes from those places of repenting. And laying it all open. So many women are so concerned about their looks. And so even for a husband, they want to hide themselves from their husband because they're concerned about how they look, right? Men are just like, we just flaunt everything, right? We don't care. But women are different. You're different. But see, we men and women are like that, like women before God. Because Jesus is the bridegroom. And this is hard for us as men to understand, but we are the bride. We are the bride of Christ. Right? And so we women are ashamed of their looks. And so we as men, if we do stupid things and we're ashamed of what we look like before God. And so we keep ourselves covered up. God wants you to uncover yourself this morning. He wants you to be open before Him. He wants you to see all the flaws because He already knows them. See, because my wife, I know every inch of her body. I know the flaws and no flaws. I know the birthmarks and no birthmarks. Why is that? Because there's an intimate relationship with us. I don't hold any flaws against her. Why? Because it's who she is. We've had flaws, but there's nothing she can do about it. But what we can do about the flaws in our life is we can repent before God and say, God, here is my flaws. I've messed up today. You can say, maybe I lied today, God, and I missed it, man. I know I was supposed to say your word today, and I just missed it, God. You gave me an opportunity today, and I was just so fearful of what they were going to think of me. The Bible says if you confess Him before men, He will confess you before the Father. Never be ashamed of God. Never be ashamed. You know, if you're looking at pornography and you're doing things that you should not be doing, yeah, you're going to be ashamed, but you're ashamed before God because you do not want Him to see the flaws, so you cover yourself up. You want to come be intimate with Him, but your sheets are all wrapped around you. How could you truly be intimate when the sheep is wrapped around you? So basically you say, God, here I'm exposing myself before you, God, and I've been on things I shouldn't have been on. God, I've done things I shouldn't have done, God. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit comes upon you and washes you clean. You say, God, forgive me. I need help. I need a way out of this mess. And God begins to give you people around you. See, when you can trust God with everything, you can trust the people of God with everything. You can trust those that are in God's hands. You can trust those ones that are ministering God's love. And what happens is they can take you to a place and get you set free from those things. Can you set your own self free? Absolutely. But then sometimes it works out of obedience. Sometimes you need help. And so then there's people to help you get set free. Y'all good? Intimacy happens through Jesus, and that is the only way to get to intimacy through God. To God is through Jesus. You need to be able to expose yourself before God openly. Not hiding those things that are your flaws, but saying, God, I love the flaws in my life, but I'm giving them to you. I'm done, and I'm going to walk in obedience what your word says. Your word says that I'm not supposed to lust, I'm not supposed to do this, then I'm not going to do it. I'm not supposed to hate my brother. I'm going to love my brother. But I'm going to live in repentance when I do mess up. And that's how we're supposed to live our life in intimacy with God.